Welcome back to Locked On Spurs, right here on the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Jeff Garcia of News 4 San Antonio and Fox29SanAntonio.com. The NBA season, your Spurs season, is still on hold as the world is battling the coronavirus, and which is time to have a little fun in these very quiet days of Spurs fandom. And there may not be X's and O's going on, there may not be games on the schedule, but there's still a few fun topics to discuss, and we're going to be having a fun episode today. And, well, what are we going to be talking about? It's quite simple. If you are a Spurs fan, what is the one Spurs jersey that you should have in your closet and why? And all we're going to be talking about, DeJounte Murray. Are we buying, are we selling that he is the next cornerstone franchise piece for the Spurs? So who's going to help me do all this stuff but my good friend over at Ticket 760. He is the voice of UIW Athletics and the producer of the Chris Duhl Show, Scott Manziera. Scott, welcome to Locked On Spurs.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here, Jeff. How you doing?
I'm doing good, buddy. And, you know, it's about time you show up. For all the times I've been on Chris Duhl Show, I need to have you on.
Yeah, man, you've been a fantastic guest during our morning show and even when we did it in the afternoon. And you know, you've been a great friend to me since I moved down to San Antonio, so excited to finally get a chance to pay it back.
Thank you. I really appreciate you helping me out today right here on Locked On Spurs. And as I said, Scott, look, there are no Spurs games, and there's really not much to talk about it by way of, you know, X's and O's and did they win this game and why rotations, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, it does allow at least this dead period of time, allow us to get the imagination going. And the one thing I thought about is jerseys. You know, you hear Spurs fans all season complaining and yearning for that Fiesta jersey, which is, I get it, you know, nostalgia. But when you're talking about jerseys, Scott, and you're looking throughout the entire Spurs history, their franchise history, there's been a lot of names that have worn the silver and black and a lot of really good players. But if there's one Spurs jersey that a Spurs fan has to have and own, who would it be? What number would it be and why?
So for me, it was a little bit of thinking when you told me that. And you know, when I go back throughout the Spurs history and I think about myself as a sports fan and a sports broadcaster, I'm one of those guys that really likes to be able to watch what I see. And what I mean by that is that I want to be able to see this player if I want to have their jersey. So I'm not big into going deep into the history of franchises. I want to be able to wear a guy where I'm like, hey, I watched this guy play. I remember seeing this. Like, I like being a part of it when I'm getting a jersey. So I think if you're a Spurs fan, then you need to look back and see which parts of the Spurs have you watched and then decide from there. And for me, because of that reasoning, it comes down to one person, one person only. You got to have the Tim Duncan jersey. I mean, you got to be wearing number 21. That's I know it's like the obvious front runner pick in my head, but it's just a no-brainer. Like, Tim Duncan was, you know, one of the best players to ever put on the Spurs uniform, if not the best. So he's definitely the jersey that I would think of. And, you know, I grew up playing backyard basketball, always picking Tim Duncan to be on my team. And, you know, he's just one of those guys. It's just you have to have it.
You know, I can't disagree with that. Look, the big fundamental, if it wasn't for him, a lot of those banners would not be hanging in the AT&T Center right now, or probably not all of them, you know, the way he played.
Right.
And, you know, he was the one that allowed Robinson to have that running mate that he needed desperately. And it helped the franchise. It propelled the franchise into the stratosphere. You know, they rank with the best winning percentage of all sports, thanks in large part to Tim Duncan. And going with number 21 on your back, that's an awesome pick. Legendary. He's basketball Hall of Fame bound. You know, that number is going to resonate throughout San Antonio history for years. And it's going to be hanging in the AT&T Center for years as well. Who would have been your second pick, though, Scott?
Yeah, see, that's where it gets hard, is after that first one, if you're following, you know, what my basis is, which is you have to watch him play, it's got to be one of those guys in that big three with either Tony Parker or Manu Ginobili. And after thinking about it even longer, I really think Tony Parker is the next guy to go to. I mean, wow. Talk about a guy that had an incredible career coming over here from overseas and playing for the Spurs. I mean, this is a guy that averaged in the double digits, I mean, almost every year of his career outside the very first and a couple of his later seasons, you know, when he's getting up there in his mid-30s. So, I mean, six-time All-Star, five-time All-Star, no, I was right, six-time All-Star. for Tony Parker, and he's a guy that I really enjoyed watching. I mean, I know Duncan gets the big fundamental, but Tony was incredible.
No, you're right, and I'm a little stunned. I was not expecting you to say Tony Parker would have been your second choice. You know, I thought maybe you would have said Robinson. I thought for sure Scott's going to say Robinson.
Yeah.
You know, it's the Admiral. You know, but right. You know, go ahead.
No. I completely agree with you. No, David Robinson is definitely something that, you know, somebody should definitely have their jersey, and I'm with you, and I got to let you be able to make a pick too. But no, Tony Parker would seriously be my second one behind Tim Duncan.
All right. Well, the picks are in for Scott and the jersey, the number one jersey he definitely expects Spurs fans to own, and he owned himself. And of course, TP coming in number two. As for me, I'm taking it back, way back, and I'm going with the Iceman.
Oh, baby.
There's something about that old school Spurs ABA, or just that first few seasons into the NBA, that jersey with that word San Antonio spelled out across the chest, the 44, the Iceman. It's just, I know you look at the Spurs uniform and the jersey colors, it's black and white. You think, oh, that's boring, you know, black and white, you know, plain Jane. But when you see that iconic 44 with the word San Antonio and the black uniform, that away jersey, I don't know what it is, Scott. I mean, can you help me out here? There's something cool about it.
Yeah, I mean, there is. I mean, that's the thing about jerseys in sports, is that there's been so many of them for so many different franchises. But when you see one jersey, especially for the Spurs in particular, you see that one jersey you're describing, you automatically think of him. And I think that in itself is a big enough reason to always want to have his.
Yeah, and there's also, too, you know, the man who wore it, you know, he exuded cool, he exuded swag, you know, looked effortless on that court, you know, scoring buckets almost at will, you know. Didn't he drop like 51 points in a game? It was a Spurs franchise record until Robinson destroyed it in 71,
right,
during his playing time. But again, Iceman, and of course, it also helps, too, when you have one of the most iconic posters ever in NBA history of him sitting on that block of ice, Scott.
I love that picture.
Oh, yeah. And now, in case you're wondering who would be my number two pick, I'm going to go with Kawhi. Kidding. Just joking.
Wow. Oh, my God. You got me on an April Fool's joke.
Yeah, I'm a day late with the April Fool's joke. But no, I would go with Robinson. That would be my second pick. Robinson, you know, again, you know, as much as you want to point to Tim Duncan, and you know, rightfully so, Tim Duncan had a huge reason why the Spurs have championship banners hanging. Robinson saved the franchise, in my opinion. I think the franchise was going south. They were losing and losing and losing. There were rumblings at that time, pre-Robinson, that cities like Oklahoma City were knocking on the Spurs door saying, hey, you think about relocation? And, you know, the Hemisphere Arena was getting worn down already, and you know, there were thoughts of moving to the Alamo Dome. Robinson came along and just reignited the franchise. And, you know, you look back at that when the Spurs drafted Robinson, they had to wait a couple more years because he had to fulfill a military duty, a Navy duty. And boy, was it worth the wait. You know, he was more than just a big man defender. He was an offensive machine, quad double, 71 points in a game, Olympic gold medalist, represented the city of San Antonio on and off the court, officer and a gentleman, all that stuff. You cannot go classier than a David Robinson jersey. Scott, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I look at David Robinson in a Spurs uniform, and you're exactly right. And I really look back to when I first started, when I first moved here, and I thought about, wow, the Spurs had not missed the playoffs since I'd been alive. I mean, I'm 23 years old, and I've never been alive to see them miss it. And this season going on made me look back towards the mid-90s and look back at the Spurs team and what the heck was going on the last time they missed it. And all I could see is David Robinson, David Robinson, David Robinson, David Robinson, just loaded all over the record books and stats. And I'm like, oh, so that's where it started. So that, I mean, I had to educate myself a little bit.
Have you ever, just for kicks, gone back and Basketball Reference, for example, and look at what Robinson did in his career? Your mouth would just drop, Scott.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. I have gone back. That's when I was looking back at, you know, the mid-90s, and when I was looking at the stats for the Spurs, that's when I was looking back at. And I didn't, that's not even the whole NBA. So I'm sure if I did the whole NBA, it'd be very similar.
Yeah. I mean, for a big man like that, you know, and he came in a time where the NBA was dominated by the big man. There was him and Lajuan, Ewing and Eaton, Alonzo Mourning, Shaq. You know, it was an era of the Giants. And Robinson, he was silky smooth. He ran up and down the court quick. I mean, he was just like a point guard, just racing up and down, finished at the rim strong. He helped the Spurs, win division titles, took them deeper to the postseason, didn't really get them over the hump into the finals until TD came along. But nevertheless, you know, won a regular season MVP. The list goes on and on what Robinson did. And he's still giving back to San Antonio and the Spurs, isn't he, Scott?
Yeah, I mean, look at everything that he did on the court, and then take a look at some of the stuff that he's done off the court, too. I mean, the guy, I believe, still lives in San Antonio, correct?
Yes, he does, yep.
I mean, that speaks volume about a player, because when you're not even from here, when you're from Key West, Florida, which is where he was from, I mean, why decide to stay here in San Antonio? What happened here outside of you playing basketball? Well, you got yeah. to the culture of San Antonio. You got to meet the people of San Antonio. You got to be comfortable with the city of San Antonio. That's why you decide to stay in a place, is because you're comfortable, you're happy, and people treat you right.
Yeah, and look, there'd be Robinson, Tony Parker, Gervin, or Tim Duncan. You know, you cannot go wrong with any jersey. At least the Spurs' great jersey as well. And we haven't even said Manu Ginobili. I mean, I don't think anybody yeah. would begrudge anybody if they were wearing a number 20 Spurs jersey, wouldn't they, Scott?
No, goodness, no. And I know that you sent me a link of a piece that you were contributing to about Manu Ginobili, just showing a little bit about his personality. So, I mean, yeah. when that stuff comes out with NBA players, you know, and especially in the Spurs organization, out of all of them, to have some players with personality, like, that is so cool. It's like, I feel like for the Spurs, they're kind of like so locked in organizationally wise about how their players are treated and the way that they talk to the media, like similar to what the Patriots do. Mm-hmm. And so when you actually see somebody from the Spurs organization, somebody else that contribute that right now is Patty Mills, and what he's doing during the coronavirus pandemic, and what he did during the Australian wildfires that were going mm-hmm. on. Just contributing to social media, I think, is such a good, fun way to get in touch with fans that gets so overlooked.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But those are our picks for the things that we expect you to have in your closet. And obviously jerseys that you would want to wear, and I would want to wear, Scott want to wear, but we need to hear from you. What jersey do you expect Spurs fans to own, or what jerseys do you have you would like to share? You can follow me on Twitter at Jeff G Spurs Zone. Scott, how can they tell you about their jerseys?
You can follow me on Twitter at S Manziera 2. I know that last name, you're like, oh my goodness. So let me help you. At S MANDZIARA2.
Easy enough. Give him a follow on social media, Twitter. All right. When we get back, though, we're going to shift gears and talk about more of the present players, and in particular, DeJounte Murray, whether or not he is that future that the Spurs desperately need. We are back, and I'm joined by the producer of the Scott. I'm sorry. Wait, well, maybe one day it'll be the Scott Manziera show, but right now it is the Chris Duell show over at Ticket 760, and he also worked with UIW Athletics. Again, that's Scott Manziera. Scott, seriously though, if you did see somebody wearing a Spurs Kawhi Leonard jersey, what would go through your mind though?
Oh, well, I've seen it a ton. I haven't seen it a ton since August, but I've seen it a ton in my life being from the Midwest. That was a jersey that people always wore around, was a Kawhi Leonard Spurs jersey. So yeah. I did see it, but since I moved down here, if I saw one in San Antonio, I'd probably think, well, he's definitely not from here.
Or he's a very brave soul, or she's a very brave soul.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, well, enough of the past, though. Let's look at the future and the present, and that is one DeJounte Murray. Look, let's be honest, Scott. We look up and down the roster right now. can you, me, anybody really point to a player and say, you know what? That guy is the franchise. That guy is the future. There isn't. I really can't. But there are some prospects and a possible cornerstone piece player can be or could be DeJounte Murray. Your quick thoughts. Do you think Murray has it in him to be that cornerstone piece that the Spurs need?
Murray might have it in him, but what he has shown on the court so far through his first three seasons since he was drafted back in 2016 leads me to believe that he doesn't. But don't let that be discouraging, because just because he's not a cornerstone piece does not mean it wasn't a good pick, does not mean he has a lot of upside. If you want to classify players in the NBA offensively, you normally go by points, rebounds, and assists. Here's a little history lesson for you from back in 2016 when DeJounte Murray was taken number 29 in that draft class. So Murray, out of all of the players that were drafted, there were 60 different selections, ranks in the top 14 of either points, rebounds, and assists. So out of all those guys, he's in the top 15. So that's already a great pick at number 29 if you're beating 15 other guys at every single one of those categories at minimum. He's in the top 10 for both rebounds and assists. So to have a guy that is still progressing like that, he really hasn't had a full healthy season to go through where he hasn't been put on a limit, especially this year with what's going on in the with the coronavirus that's happening to interrupt this year. And it was better than it was back in 2017 for Murray. So I think that it's trending in a better direction. Do I think he has a chance to be a cornerstone piece? I don't think so.
You know, I'm right there with you. I'm not knocking Murray. I'm not. I think he's going to be a really good player. And I think he's going to give you those big nights, 15, 17 points a game. You know, we know he's a great rebounder, one of the best at his position, giving you double fig rebounds. He's going to push the tempo and whatnot. But there's still a lot of aspects of his game that I still need to see some leaps and bounds. I need to see that three-point shot become a lot more reliable. He started to show a little life this past season. I don't even know whether to say it's past or just on pause right now, but we'll just say past right now for sake of argument. He started to show that, and he was hitting them. But again, it wasn't enough to instill confidence in me moving forward, saying, you know what, I can rely on Murray to knock down that three. I can rely on him and getting rebounds. I can rely on him and push to the tempo. But I don't know if his game is expanded enough where I can say, you know what, now he's a little bit more of a threat, and he's trending towards that cornerstone piece of a player. Outside of his outside shot, which has improved, but it's not there yet, Scott, is there another aspect of his game that you would love to see him take a step forward to becoming that franchise piece?
Well, I think that he has continued this, and that would be his assists, trying to be the dish man. His assists have grown in every year that he's been in the league so far. If you go back to his days at Washington, he was a guy that was a scorer, but not necessarily the best shooter. He was a great dishmaster, though. 144 assists he had in his freshman year, and however many games, the University of Washington plays around, I'd say around 30 as a nice round number. And if you take the math there, that's nearly five apples a game. So that's what he was putting up this year, which is what I see him kind of transcending as an NBA player. He's not going to necessarily be a scorer night in and night out, kind of like what we've seen from DeMar DeRozan. It's going to be much more of a guy that is going to put up like average numbers. He needs to be a good facilitator, and that just comes with experience.
Yeah, I feel like we're just bashing him, but we're not. This is like tough love. If anything, that's all it is.
Yeah.
We would love to see Murray emerge as that cornerstone, that franchise guy. As of right now, though. Now, he doesn't really scream it. He's not it. He's, again, a good player, really good player, but not at that level yet. I would say I'd love to see him. It's like one of those, like, double-edged sword thing. I like the fact that he pushes the tempo, especially in today's era of the NBA, but sometimes it could be to his detriment where he'll make the bad pass. Turnovers is what I'm getting at. You'll see him kind of force things, and I'd like to see him develop a little bit more of a steadier pace. I know, I get it. On one end, I'm saying he pushes the tempo, but I guess I want him to be smart about it. Is that a safe thing to say, Scott?
No, absolutely. That's what you want in a point guard. Yeah. And with those assists coming up, his turnovers have stayed mostly the same throughout his NBA career so far, but that's definitely something you need in a point guard, is a guy that's going to take care of the ball. And I think something that gets brought up a lot when you're talking about the Spurs and with Coach Pop is that it takes a couple of years to learn the system. It takes a couple of years to get entwined with Pop's system of how he runs the offense. It doesn't just happen after 1 year, which is basically what we've seen from him. We've seen one full year from him back in 2017, where he started just over half the games. So he really hasn't gotten a chance to do it for a full year. But I still think from the sample size that we saw this half year that we've seen glimpses. And you also have to remember that this team that he's playing with isn't nearly as good as teams that the Spurs have had in the past. So that has to factor into it as well.
Yeah, look, I think Murray, if anybody I know, is or could be that guy. But I think the Spurs team will likely need to build around him if they go that route. As presently constructed, they're not. You know, they're obviously built around DeMar and LaMarcus. And we don't know what their futures are in San Antonio, especially if, you know, whatever, however this halted season continues or ends or whoever it does, you know, there's going to be big changes. Whenever there is an official NBA offseason, DeMar may not be here. LaMarcus may not be here. You know, you got free agents. You know, Brent Forbes, he may not be here. Drew Eubanks, what do you do with him? You know, his two-way deal is up. Jim Ezimetu, are you going to find it on play or are you going to be okay with him walking? You know, this roster is going to change, but there's one consistent, and that's going to be Murray. They inked him to a tremendous deal right before the season. So that should tell you, Scott, or just anybody, that the Spurs are fully invested in his future as a Spur.
Oh, yeah. They absolutely are invested in him. And I'm sure that they probably expect more from him than what he's been able to give. But besides the fact of the contract that shows it, just think about the minutes restrictions that they put on him. I mean, they are taking such delicate care of DeJounte Murray that I think that it did hold him back to an extent so far this season, is because I'm sure as a guy like him, he hasn't faced a really bad career injury. And when you're coming back from something like that, you're not used to coming off the bench. You're not used to playing limited minutes. Like, you're not used to having to be not the best player on your team, especially, you know, him with him out in Washington coming into the league and then changing rosters over. I mean, think about that. DeMar DeRozan was not on the team, Jeff, back in 2017 when DeJounte Murray played his first full NBA season. So you're learning amongst a whole new group of guys and a whole new offense, and there's growing pains. And I think that's just some of the valleys that DeJounte hit this year.
Yeah, and you know, you look at up and down the roster. You know, could there be any other players that kind of maybe make you scratch a little bit, thinking like, you know, maybe he could be it. You know, Keldon Johnson, maybe you don't know. I mean, he looks like he's the goods. He looks like he has what it takes. But again, he's young in his NBA career. He hasn't really panned out. Look how long it took Kawhi to be Kawhi. You know, it wasn't until about 2014, Scott, where you, me, the rest of the Spurs fan base said, oh, wait a minute, this kid is going to be phenomenal. And at least for a moment, you know, he was with San Antonio and he was that franchise guy, and the Spurs didn't have to worry about that because we knew who the baton was getting passed to after Tim Duncan. And it was blaring who it was going to be. It was going to be Kawhi. But we all know how that went. And, well, you know, the Spurs are in the position they are right now. They don't have that Kawhi. They don't have a Tim Duncan. They don't have a Robinson. They don't have that level, a Tony Parker, a Manu Ginobili level player right now. Which begs the question, Scott, do you believe that the Spurs will ever get a franchise guy again?
Well, I think if there was a year to get a franchise guy, this year would be as good as any year. I mean, they're most likely going to have the draft in the lottery. If the season were to end today, they would be in the lottery because they would not be making the playoffs. So that gives you the best chance to get the best player. I mean, the last big pick that they had, right, was Lonnie Walker, who's on the team. Keldon Johnson, yes, he's on the team, but really hasn't gotten a chance to play. But Lonnie Walker was a guy that I think that there was a lot of eyes on this year, and what he was able to deliver was less than exhilarating. But it's the same reasons that we talked about with DeJounte. It might take a little time to get flow, but you can see that he's athletic. You can see that he's fast. He's got a high basketball IQ. So not a whole bunch of worries from a 21-year-old, which is why I think that this team should have been doing better, because you got a nice mix of veterans with Aldridge and DeRozan, and you need those young guys to pull their own weight. And I think that Murray and Walker were just expected of more, and that's not to leave out a lot of the other guys in the team that were definitely expected with more performances. So I think that if you're going to look at another guy that has a chance at it, it would definitely be Lonnie Walker from where we stand today. And there's just too many question marks with Keldon Johnson and Metu with such a small sample size. Yeah. But of course, you wish for it.
Yeah, you want that to happen, you know, and the glimpses that you've seen, KJ. Look, I spoke with Derek White right before the hiatus, and, you know, he was just eyes wide open, like, man, this Keldon kid has something. So he sees it. Patty Mills even saw it too. So maybe there's something there. But again, you're absolutely right. It's a very small sample size. And he was lighting up the G League, but, you know, he didn't really do that with San Antonio squad. When, you know, and that was just so frustrating too, Scott. You know, I'm trying to get off track here a little bit, was Keldon was finally starting to get something going a little bit. You know, it was right there. You know, he was starting to get the minutes. You saw him getting a little bit more confidence. You know, sure, he had a bad night every once in a while, but that was expected. But you saw exactly what he was giving the Austin Spurs. And then, boom, the season got halted. And then Lonnie Walker, the same for him, you know, starting to get more minutes, starting to get more confidence. And, boom, the season is shut down. And rightfully so. I'm not complaining. The Adam Silver did the right thing. But again, we couldn't see where these kids were going. You know, Murray too, Scott. Murray was coming on strong right before the break, and then bam, it got shut down. So it remains to be seen. So should we end this segment, Scott, by saying simply Murray may have an incomplete right now, or is the jury still out? How do you feel?
I think that it's an incomplete right now. I mean, like I said, there was different little kind of sections of greatness from him this year, and there was sections of what happened. I think that's what the offseason is for, is to kind of grind out those spots of what happened here and learn from it and make sure that you have a much more consistent sample size. Because it's not that you're looking at it and saying, oh man, he's got to be great every night, he's got to score double digits every night, he's got to have at least 5 assists every night. It's not that at all. It's just a matter of making sure that you're not a liability on one way or the other from anybody on the team. I mean, there's a couple nights that DeMar DeRozan didn't score in double digits and the Spurs lost, and you're just kind of scratching your head. Yeah. So I think that it's really early. I mean, we got to remember it's so hard for the NBA because it's like this guy's 23 years old. I mean, we can't, you know, rain down on him right now. I mean, the guy is my age. Like, I can't imagine doing that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we got to remember these are no offense, Scott, but they're kids, you know, and they're kids,
exactly,
you know, trying to lead an entire NBA, professional players, you know, guys that have been there, done that, like LaMarcus and DeMar and even Patty Mills, you know, and tell them what to do and be that guy. And I'm pretty sure they would be all for it. But, you know, it's a different mindset. So hopefully we'll get the best out of Murray and he will be that cornerstone piece. And so we don't have to have this conversation anymore right here on Locked On Spurs. When we get back, though, Scott and I are going to continue our chat about your San Antonio Spurs. Well, look, you are probably in quarantine right now, and I get it. You know, you want to be safe and sound, and you don't want to help. You want to help halt the coronavirus. But if you want to get fit in 2020, you don't have to join the gym. You don't have to pay a ton for overpriced fitness equipment. The best way to get in shape in your life is with Echelon. Now, if you go to echelonfit.com, you'll be able to discover their EX1 connected fitness bikes that offer a high-quality at-home cycling experience at less than half the price of a Peloton. Echelon makes beautifully engineered products for everyone, busy mom, dads, first responders, elite athletes, whatever your activity level is. And with daily live and on-demand studio classes right at your home, you never have to step foot into a gym. You'll love Echelon, but if you're not 100% satisfied, they'll give you your money back. So join the hundreds of thousands of men and women who are getting fit with Echelon. Go to echelonfit.com to discover their EX1 connected fitness bike. So don't pay a ton for a Peloton. Buy Echelon bike today for under $1,000. So again, go to echelonfit.com/, just simply spell it out, LONBA, to learn about their limited time, free Apple iPad, and complete details of this exclusive offer. Echelon. It is your time. That's E-C-H-E-L-O-N fit.com/LONBA. EchelonFit.com/NBA. We're back, and I'm joined by Scott Manziera. He is the producer of the Ticket 760 show, the Chris Duell show, and he is with UIW Athletics. And speaking of UIW Athletics, Scott, what do you do out there?
So I do the play-by-play for the football team, the basketball team, men's and women's basketball, and the baseball team.
You're a man of many hats.
The fun biz, man.
Hey, you know, I had some fun yesterday on yesterday's Locked On Spurs, and I asked my guest, you know, there is a one moment in Spurs franchise history to change. What would it be and why? He picked drafting Kawhi Leonard. That would be the moment in time he would change. He said he would never have told me if he could go in a Back to the Future time traveling DeLorean. He said that what he would do. He would tell the Spurs, don't make the deal. What would be yours?
Oh man, that's a tough one. Because if I remember correctly, for Kawhi, I just want to address that really quick. I would disagree with that, because without Kawhi Leonard, you definitely don't have DeMar DeRozan right now. So that's definitely a guy that even though he backstabbed everybody in San Antonio and the way that he went out was horrible, it was still a good thing that the Spurs drafted him. I mean, anytime you can get a player like that, an MVP caliber guy, that it's a good thing. But anyway, the moment I would change in Spurs history would definitely be the Ray Allen three.
Good pick.
Defending that shot will sit with me for probably the rest of my life. I was watching that game at a friend's house in St. Louis when it was going down, and I remember thinking, I'm like, wow, the Spurs are going to beat the Heat. LeBron is going to lose the NBA Finals to the Spurs here. And I'm like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, there was just no way in my head that LeBron was not going to win that Finals that year. And then Ray Allen hit that impossible three, that three-point shot that you shoot in NBA 2K all the time. That just perfectly – everybody knows Ray Allen's shot looks like. That perfectly executed three from the baseline in the corner was absolutely detrimental to Spurs history for the time being. But the reason that I would change is because it could have been back-to-back. It could have been back-to-back, because you look at the future and they ended up winning and beating them next year.
Yeah, that was painful. I remember being stunned. I don't think I had a reaction. I think I was just numb because I couldn't see it. You know, it was just utter disbelief. Like, is this really happening? Like, is this really, you know what, happening? And it happened. And which was a shame because, you know, like you mentioned, the Spurs were right there. They were, you know, seconds away, Scott, from winning a back-to-back title. But oh well, it happened. As for me, what I picked yesterday, I picked going back in time to 95 and telling Robinson, so this guy that you're going to face, Dream, yeah, you might want to talk to the Spurs and get better defensive schemes going. Oh, and by the way, do you mind Robinson not accepting your MVP trophy right in front of his face, because you don't need to give him extra fuel? I would go back and change that moment. I would have loved for Robinson to get a title on his own, you know, without Tim Duncan, just purely a Robinson-led NBA title-winning Spurs team. But, you know, we all know what happened. Olajuwon just eviscerated him so bad, and it crushed his MVP season. The Spurs came up short once again in the postseason, and it wasn't Tim Duncan arrived where the Spurs started racking up titles, but it was just so painful to watch Robinson getting just, you know, doing whatever he can to try to slow down Dream, but nobody could. I mean, it wasn't just Robinson. It was Ewing, Shaq, and all those guys. LaJuan was on a different level, but the way he put it on Robinson was just nasty. Scott, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's just one of those things where you get frustrated because you wanted him to do it so bad. But at the same time, you look back and you're like, man, how tough is it to win a championship, like literally by yourself? Like, you are the face of it, and nobody else in the team really can touch you in terms of hype and talent. not many players in the entire NBA history have been able to do that. I mean, it's literally the GOATs that you can name that were able to do that. And I think that's honestly what is the biggest separation in that category. I used to hate that argument about championships, but it's just about the way to win it. In my eyes, it's more about the way you're winning it rather than how many you have.
Yeah, so that would be my moment in Spurs franchise history that I would change, because I mean, Scott, I lived it. I saw it. It was in real time, and the Spurs were just bamboozled. There was nothing, and it didn't help too that Dennis Rodman didn't do his part as well, you know, just floating out there, not really helping D-Rob, at least throwing a double team at him. It wasn't until later in the series where they got smart and started throwing a double team at him, but even that wasn't even stopping Dream. But then again, I mean, that's Dream, man. Goodness.
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
come on.
It's Dream, you know, come on. Exactly. Well, but Scott and I, we're done rambling, you know, about Murray and our moment in Spurs history and, of course, the jerseys. But we want to hear from you, Scott, one more time. Tell them how they can communicate with you and just chat with you on social media.
Yeah. Yeah. Go to my Twitter page at SManziera2. That's SManziera2. You can tweet me, you can follow me, you can DM me, whatever you want. I'm happy to respond, and I'm happy to be in San Antonio talking Spurs.
All right, give him a follow. He's a great follow on social media. Speaking of Locked On Spurs, you can follow Locked On Spurs wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Subscribe, follow, whether it be at iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher. Locked On Spurs is there for you to enjoy. Also, go to the Spurs Zone News Force San Antonio and Fox29SanAntonio.com. Everything you need from your silver and black, and although there may not be any games, there is still plenty to talk about. Scott kind of alluded to it earlier in the show. Find out just exactly how much it is a pain to live with Manu Ginobili. I see that sweetly and lovingly. His wife has been sharing moments of what it's like to be having quarantine life with the Spurs legend. It's quite a funny, some stories there you hear about number 20. And also, don't forget to check out what we did for the San Antonio Zoo, helping them raise money for their time of need as well. Go check it out at News 4 San Antonio and Fox 29 San Antonio Spurs Zone. Follow me on Twitter at Jeff J Spurs Zone. So for Scott Manziera, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.